But our God is the provider. Amen. Amen. He's the provider. He will provide. You just got to step out in faith sometimes. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's get in the Word. This morning, we're going to continue our series titled Identity in Crisis. The world tells us one thing. Our friends and family tell us another. Our own hearts oftentimes tell us something else, but only God can tell you who you truly are. Becoming who God says you are is the only way to discover our true identity. When we lay down our perceptions of ourselves, thoughts of what other people have said about us, and allow God to tell us who we are, it's then that we have a new identity, and it's found in Christ. Once we uncover what that is, our lives will never be the same again. So church, you got to place your false labels and self-deception on the altar of God's truth. It's time to embrace who you are and become a living sacrifice, holy and surrendered to God. Are you ready and willing to discover what that is? Yes. Amen. Amen. Listen, church. The church building is not a place of perfect people. That's down the road. Just playing. I hope there's not a church that thinks they're perfect people. Break the pride in Jesus' name. Come on. The church house is a place of broken people coming to be mended, healed, and set free. And also, it's not just a hospital. It's also an armory. Okay? If you came here just to get hospitalized constantly, maybe you need to get delivered. Come on. Amen. Sometimes your sickness is a spirit. I'm just flowing right now. It's a spirit. What's my really good friend say? My mentor, he says, you can't cast out flesh and you can't counsel the demonic. Come on now. Some of y'all need to be delivered from that spirit of infirmity. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And some of y'all need to be healed. This needs to be a hospital. And I'm not just talking about physical sickness. I'm talking about all kinds of sickness. But this is also an equipping ground. Once you get mended and healed and set free from all that, put on some armor and go out and fight so you can come back and get mended and healed and set free again. Amen? And then go out and fight. And that's how it works. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody need to hear that because I didn't have that anywhere here. Where am I at? Oh, the church house. This is a place where we're searching out our true identity. While we worship a perfect God. We're not perfect, but He is. We're here this morning to give reverence and worship to our Creator while we find out more of who God is and who we are in Him. Amen? This morning, it's week number 5 of our series titled Identity in Crisis. And guess what, church? I've decided to extend this series one more month through the month of August. Amen? Just like Pastor John said, man, you can go all over the place with it. And that's what I've been trying to do. And God's got some more stuff today. And I think I even have a vision of next week, which I love. Right? I know some pastors, they write their sermons like 6 months in advance, whatever. I write mine the week of, every week, all the time. And let me tell you, that makes me rely on the Word of God and the Spirit of God in my prayer life. Because if I don't bring something, y'all know, hey, Pastor, you were off today. You must have not been praying this week. And I say, takes one to know one. Hey. Brother Bob, that's a counterpunch, right? Hallelujah. Tink, tink. Okay. Week number 1, we kicked off this series with how the thief, the enemy, tries to use things in our life to steal our identity, or at least uses things in our life to give us a false one. John 10:10, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you a life and life to the fullest, or an abundant life. Amen? That was week 1. Week 2, we talked about godly sexuality, and I taught on gender dysphoria. And we talked about an anti-God agenda. We talked about a hurting group of people. And then I talked about what the church should do about it. If you missed out, you can watch them online. Go online, watch it out. Facebook, YouTube, all right? Or just don't miss church, okay? Week 3. Remember the good old days, man, when I was a kid? It's like regular attender actually regularly attended, and now it's like one time a month, so regular attender. I was like, psh. Imagine if you regularly attended your job like that. This is called getting fired, okay? Hallelujah. Okay, moving on. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'm going with that. Somebody need to be convicted. Hallelujah. Coming to church don't make you a Christian, by the way. But you miss out a lot at church when you don't come. Some people say, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You're right. But you can't be a strong Christian without church. Because the Bible's all about community. It's like, well, I don't need the church. I can be a Christian on my own. Yeah, that's true. That's exactly what the enemy wants. When a lion is trying to get a zebra, he doesn't go in the middle and get the zebra. He gets the one on the outlining all by himself. Moving on. Hallelujah. Week number three. Then week three, we tried answering biblically a huge question of life is, who am I? We talked about the life of Peter and our true identity, and also talked about being made in the image of God and what that means for us today. Then last week, Reverend John, he brought a relevant and powerful word about we are to turn all of our life over to God, or we're going to have an identity that's in crisis. He talked about Moses in the Old Testament wanting to make his own identity until God gave him a real identity. Then, of course, Reverend John, he demonstrated God's word through a couple of the gifts of the Spirit with words of knowledge and prophecy. And I know you guys love that, right? Some of y'all love it. Some of y'all get nervous, right? Here's a hint. If you look down, he will choose you. God says, get him, they're hiding. Hallelujah. And God just said, oh, man. Looking down. Hallelujah. Just joking. He's led by the Spirit. God tells him what to do. But man, when I was a youth pastor, that's what I did. Hey, we got a question. Anybody want to answer that? And if you look down, it's like, oh, it's you. Amen. This morning I want to talk about being a child of God. Amen. Did you know that not everyone is a child of God? The belief and the teaching that all humans are children of God, that's called bad theology. Everything begins and moves from our identity. Here's a definition of identity. It says, quote, a sense of self and a sense of worth, end quote. It's a sense of who I really am at the core of my being. Church, your identity may be more important than you understand. Because when you find your God-given identity, it's then you will find your God-given authority. Your identity is where you find your worth and your value. You will find out where you belong and who you belong to. Everyone gets a portion of their identity from their family. So if you're like, that's why I'm so weird. Bad or good, we identify with our family or lack thereof of a family. From our earthly family, many of us have learned a lifestyle of righteousness or a lifestyle of lawlessness. What you were born into can either mobilize you or it will paralyze you moving forward. Family identity helps set the foundation of how you identify culturally, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. And some of us in here today need God to shake up the ground of our bad traditions and our unhealthy foundations so he can help us establish a healthy family identity. According to Focus on the Family, quote, a strong family identity helps children develop a strong and healthy self-identity, end quote. Now, church, the opposite is just as true as well. A weak family helps children develop poor and unhealthy self-identities. Focus on the Family goes on to say this, quote, traditions, values, ways of relating to one another gives children a clear starting point for discovering their own place in the world. Studies even show that kids who report a strong connection to a family tend to be less promiscuous and face less risk of drug and alcohol abuse, end quote. Plain and simple, kids thrive when they have a strong and healthy family identity. Now, we take great pride here at First Open Bible, setting the tone and the atmosphere of not only just being a church, but we're a family of believers doing life together. That's a pillar that we stand on. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. It's true. Now, some of y'all like feel like sometimes I'm disconnected. Well, it takes a friend to be a friend, right? To be a friend takes a friend. So if you're expecting everybody just to jump in and come and know you, why don't you go out and find somebody else and get to know them? Because there's an atmosphere here that we want more people to be part of the family of God. And we love the First Open Bible family here. We do. We want to do life together, but we don't know what's going on with your life if you don't tell us. So don't be mad about it. Amen? You got family like that. There's family you're close to, and there's family that's like, oh yeah, that's my cousin. I know nothing about that cousin, right? That's my auntie. She's crazy, but I don't know much about her, whatever, okay? Amen? If you didn't say amen, maybe that's you. I don't know. You're that person in the family. I don't know. According to the Bible, we are not born children of God. We do not identify with God's family when we are physically born into sin. All humans are made in the image of God. In the image of God, we are created. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are created in God's image, and our purpose is to know God and to make him known. But not all humans know God or make him known. We're made in God's image. We as humans were created that way. But not all humans are children of God. Christianity and God's family, they go hand in hand. Not everyone chooses to follow Christ with their life or chooses to identify as a Christian. So that means there are people that have not yet been adopted into God's family. Only God's children have a heavenly father. Are you hearing me, church? Let me say it this way. There's two types of people in this world. The lost, the saved. The sinners, and the ones saved by grace, who sin. By the way, if you say you're a sinner and you're saved by grace, that's actually bad theology. Sinners go to hell. Are you going to hell? Okay. Right? I'm saved by grace and I sin, but I've been set free from that sin, so I don't have to keep sinning. So if you call yourself a sinner, that means those are the people that go to hell when they die. But if you're saved by grace, you're saved and you sin. Okay? You're welcome. I did a lot of school to understand that. Hallelujah. Two types of people. You got non-Christians and you got Christians. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. You're either friends of the world or you're part of the family of God. This is what the Bible says in James 4:4. It says, you adulterers. Thank you, word. Don't you realize that your friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. It's not oftentimes that the Bible repeats itself right after itself. It's pretty important. Does anyone in the house want to identify as an enemy of God? I don't want to be an enemy to the one that made me. I don't want to be an enemy to the one I was created to emulate. I want to be a son of the King. I want Father God to be my Abba Daddy. I want to identify as a kid from his kingdom, a child from his family. Church, family identity matters. It's where you get your foundation of how you identify culturally, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. So that means who your father is matters. Church, say father.
Father.
Contrary to popular secular teaching, A majority of the healthiest families almost always have one common core element: a strong and loving father, a male father. Recent studies show the primary roles of a healthy father in a healthy family are this: protector, provider, motivator, enforcer, encourager, a trainer or a coach, and a leader. Recent studies show that the primary roles of a healthy father, I'll say it slower so you can write it, brother, in a healthy family are protector, provider, motivator, enforcer, encourager, a trainer or a coach, and a leader. A father influences his children's well-being, stability, safety, and their identity. In our society today, fatherlessness is one of the greatest concerns. Fatherlessness physically and fatherlessness spiritually. Sadly, our country is becoming very quickly a land full of spiritual orphans. Now, the word father, when I say father, it means something different to all of us because of our earthly experience we've had with our own father. Good, bad, or non-existent. No one has ever had the power to choose what family they were born into. Think about that. I mean, there was a time in your teenage years, you're like, I wish I was born into a different family. And the parents are going, I do too. I'll be available for hugs after service. It's true, I will. Oh my goodness, it's so true. Somehow the kids can say it, but the parents can't, but they close the door and they say it like this. Ah, nah, nah. God sees your heart, church. God sees your heart. But no one's ever had the power to choose what family they were born into. Nobody. You have an earthly family that had a great father, an okay father, a very broken father, or maybe no father at all. We're going to go the rest of our lives with the dad that we have been given, or the rest of our lives with the earthly father that we didn't have. We don't have the power to change that. But what we do have the power to change and to choose is to have a heavenly father or not. Church, we all have the power to choose spiritual adoption or spiritual rejection. It's true. Scripture teaches us that though all of creation was created by God, we become children of God through spiritual adoption. My sister, she's in the nursery right now, but my family, when I was in high school, we adopted two children. I have a blood sibling 2 years younger than me, and then I have an adopted brother and adopted sister 8 and 9 years apart from me. And they were in the foster care system. And I remember the time that my parents came up to me and my brother, and they said, hey, you know, we went to this thing and we feel like, you know, we feel like we're going to be adopting. We want to adopt. What do you think of that? I'm like, I'm a young teenager. Okay, I don't know what that means. Like, spend the night and eat my candy or what? I don't know. They said, you know, our family's going to grow and there's going to be more people in it. What do you think of that? And we're thinking about adopting a brother and sister of the same parents. and thinking of adopting them older, because a lot of people want to adopt babies, but they forget about the kids and the teenagers that also need a family. Come on now. This Marilyn knows what's up. Some of y'all know what's up. So I remember that happened. I'm just going to be real with you. It was awesome at first. Then it was weird. It's like these kids that came to spend the night that you kind of know, but not really, and then they won't leave. For real, I'm telling you, like, it's like, hey, that's cool. I have these siblings or these people spend the night. Like, I've had friends spend the night before or whatever, but they ain't leaving. And they are eating my candy. But I loved it because I was the oldest, so me and my sister were 9.5 years apart, and I was like her little hero because I was in high school and had a car and had a job, and I did all this fun stuff, and then she was young and big old glasses, and I love you, Pat. I love you, Harris. You know, she loved me, and I love you too. She always wanted to go with me everywhere we went. She was my little buddy. We just drive around everywhere and had fun. Then I went to college, and then here I am today. But what I remember is my parents taught when I got older to understand that my adopted siblings were just as much as my siblings as my blood sibling Curtis is. And we chose adoption, and I'm so thankful for it. I don't look at my siblings, Michael and Shelby, any different than I look at my brother Curtis. My parents chose adoption, and I'm glad they did, and I'm thankful for it. You know, all humans have worth. All things created has worth. But nothing created was made in the image of God like humans were. This shows how much God loves us. The Bible says that he loved us so much that he became his own creation to save us and redeem us. So we can have a heavenly father through adoption. John 1:12 says this, but to all believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. But to who all believed and accepted him, he gave us the right to become children of God. Spiritual adoption or spiritual rejection. The Bible also teaches that we're all slaves to sin, and that makes us enemies of God. But because of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, we can be adopted into God's family. When we become reborn in the Spirit, spiritually reborn into a different family. Some of y'all was like, hey, I need that because this family's a mess. Or maybe you don't even have a family. Or maybe you have an awesome family. But this is what Romans 8:14-17 says. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Verse 16, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Verse 17, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are his heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Sometimes you suffer in family. And sometimes it's glorious. Church, Christ's death and resurrection was not just about your eternity. It's also about your identity. When you identify with Jesus, you identify as being a child of God. You go from being an enemy of God because of your sins and your rebellion to having a heavenly father and being made a son or daughter of the King. Through Jesus, we have a new family to identify with. Amen? It's through our faith and our submission to Jesus that makes us a child of God. So what does a child of God look like? Think about it. What's a child of God look like? Oh, okay. Hold on a second. Right there? Do your neighbors know that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Amen. Good. Does your family know that?
Yes.
Oh, praise God. She said, yes, yes, I worship outside of the church. Amen. But what's a child of God look like? See, Jesus, he answers this question. He says this in John 8:42. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me. Because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. What does a child of God look like? Well, first step is this. You got to be a Christian. You got to love and serve Jesus. A child of God is a Christian, and a Christian is a child of God. A Christian is someone who has given their heart and life to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is someone who turns away from worldly pleasures, worldly mindsets, and worldly actions, and chooses to identify with God's ways over your own ways. It's when someone chooses to follow Jesus in this way, it is then they are adopted into God's family. And they can identify as God's child. Now, if you're a child of God, here's what you've experienced. You've experienced a spiritual new birth. You've been born again. You are saved. You are set free from sin, curses, sickness, and death. You are now a Christian and you start acting like Christ. Some of y'all identify as a Christian, but you don't act like Christ. That's a false identity. See, sanctification, that's a church word, but sanctification starts in your life. You got to look it up this week if you don't know what that is. A child of God starts to speak like and act like Jesus. All Christians... Give yourself somebody in here. You became a Christian recently and you want to be over here, but you're not quite there yet. Give yourself some time to be human. You've been just reborn. You expect a baby to start running? Man, drink the milk, get healthy, get chubby. The only time it's cute to be chubby is when you're a baby. Like, be chubby, right? Hallelujah. I'm working on it. But you gotta make sure that you understand when you're spiritually reborn that you're a baby in Christ. Yes. Don't expect to be a mature adult, but you gotta walk out that sanctification and get there. You gotta keep looking like Jesus. Right? You gotta drink some milk, then you gotta take some bread, then you gotta get some meat. But you ain't got teeth yet. So you're choking on the meat. You need some milk. You need to walk with some people that know how to chew meat of God's word, the bread of life. So that way, when your teeth come in, you know how to chew. Amen. Come on now. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. See, a child of God speaks like and acts like Jesus. You are not perfect, but you need to strive to be more like Jesus every day. This is a prayer that I often say, Jesus, I want to look more like Christ, act more like Christ, or do more Christ-like things today than I did yesterday. Yes. Right? That's a good goal. If you do that, you're going to keep walking closer to purification in Christ, to start looking like Jesus. If you stay still, Jesus is going to keep moving on and you're going to stay still. Or if you go backwards, you need to maybe turn around and start walking toward Jesus. Act like Jesus, speak like Jesus, and be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. And then you ask God, God, forgive me of everything that I've done. And if you remember it, be specific. Lord, forgive me of my attitude. Forgive me of the words I spoke. Forgive me of how I thought, how I was selfish, how I was painful in this. Forgive me of my mindsets. Forgive me all these things. God, I need to be more like Jesus today and not yesterday. Yesterday was a little bit of a hot mess, and I had a lot to do with it. Help me be a different person today. I want to pick up my cross today. I want to carry it. I want to not only, just we read, I want to not only be about God's glory, but I also have to understand through his suffering. See, church, in suffering, there is a purification of God's Holy Spirit fire. If you ever want, I talked about this yesterday at that party. If you ever want to be more mature in Christ, then you got to go through something. Right? God's going to take your empathy and bring it and make it into compassion, but you got to go through something. Right? I'm not a big believer in the prosperity gospel because it has one major incorrect theology in it. Right? We are prosperous in Jesus, but here's the problem. The prosperity gospel thinks that I'm just blessed and everything's great and everything's fantastic. And then when bad things happen, God must be punishing me. Or bad things happen, I must not be full of faith enough. That's incorrect. I would like some of these prosperity preachers to talk when they get to heaven to the disciples. This is free. I don't even know where I'm going right now. This is free. Some of y'all expect life to just be perfect, but Jesus says you have trials and tribulations, but do not have fear, for I have overcome the world. Right? Amen? Those prosperity preachers with the smile on their face, flying in their 12 jets that they own or whatever it is, laying hands on things and saying that they're going to get, that is not what the disciples did. The ones that actually walked physically with Jesus. Man, they went and preached the gospel and they were so prosperous because they knew that nothing in this world could harm them. Even death would not harm them. And all of them died terrible deaths, well, most of them, or secluded or whatever. Even Peter, legend has it, he hung upside down on a cross because he wasn't worthy to hang the same way his Savior did. Where am I at? I don't know. Oh, child of God, got to speak like and act like Jesus. I'm going to say this too. I'm going to keep being led. But with this, church, being a born-again Christian, spirit-filled, is the only way to spread the gospel. It's the only way. And here's how you do it. Jesus said in his word that you can cast out demons. What? If you think it's about you, you're going to get beat up like those naked people in the Bible that went with their own strength and said, oh, I did everything in her name. I don't know. Yeah, you did it in your own strength and you weren't led by the Spirit and it was for your own pride and your own glory. So you're going to be naked and you're going to run away because that demon is going to beat you up. But if you go in God's strength and you go with his Spirit and it's about his glory, they know a demon can even touch you. Yeah. Amen? You can cast out demons because you're Spirit-filled. You can heal the sick, not because you, but because of the blood of Jesus can heal the sick, right? You can raise the dead. Some things in your life got to get raised. Some things in other people's life, they got to get raised. And maybe you need to go to a funeral sometime led by the Spirit. And just like that plumber, right, what's his name? Smith Wigglesworth, you got to take that body and throw it against that wall until it breathes. Y'all laugh, that happened. That's history. That's history. Smith Wigglesworth, that guy's. First off, cool name, sounds like a candy. Sounds like some like chewy taffy or something, I don't know. But if you are a child of God, quit living in fear, quit living with your insecurities, quit living in the things of this world and the pleasures of this world, quit living with the mindsets and the depression and the sickness and the diseases of this world. I realize that your body is broken, but all you got to do is line it up to the word of God. Believe in a miracle for your life. Yes. Amen. Believe for a breakthrough in your life. Oh, come on now. Don't own it. Speak to it. Yes. Come on. Don't own it. Say, I have this, I have that. My friend, when I said I have ADHD, says, don't you own it, right? And I said, what'd you say? I wasn't listening. I got jokes. That's how I flow. I say that. The doctor said that I had ADHD. I don't know. I wasn't listening. But he had 74 tiles on his ceiling in his office there. Oh, it's good. It's good. Come on now. Don't own it, church. Speak to it. You're a child of the living God. You know what that means? When Christians gain a new family as being a child of God, they get a new family identity. And you know what that means? You get a new inheritance.
Yes.
Mm-mm. What's an inheritance? An inheritance refers to, quote, the assets, property, resources, and gifts that individual owned is now given away to their loved ones after they die, end quote. When Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, every spiritual inheritance was made available to God's children. That's good news, Miss Marilyn. That's good. When you become a Christian, you also become a co-heir. Co-heir. Why do you got to be so close? English is weird. Co-heir in Christ. How do I know that? The Bible tells me. Ephesians 1. Verses 11 through 14 says this. Furthermore, that's a good word. Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. It's not about your plan. It's about his plan through you. This ain't about your life. It's about God's life through you, which makes you your life. Okay? Hallelujah. That's free. Verse 12, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, unless you're 100% Jewish, that's us, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Verse 14, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us through Jesus to be his own people. He did this. Why did he do this? So we would praise and glorify him. That's why he did it. Amen. I don't know about y'all. If you get a bonus check, you get something in your life, give it to God or give part of it to God to glorify him. Right? I'm going to pray right now. I don't know why I'm on this, but that there's people in here that want to get a raise. You want to get a raise and you want to get a promotion. I just want to speak to that. God, if it is your will, let it be done. Let it be done this month. The month of August, may you get a raise or a promotion or a bonus check or whatever it is. And when you do, church, give God glory and give him praise. Just like he said that. It's his inheritance. You don't have to live poor, but you have to be a giver, right? Nobody likes a greedy Christian. You don't understand giving if you're a greedy Christian. You don't get it. Jesus gave everything. We can give all of us, but you don't got to live in poverty. You serve the King of Kings. He can break that poverty mindset right out of you. But it's not for your kingdom. It's for God's kingdom. Okay? Amen. You heard me, Joel Osteen? Okay. Church. Hallelujah. Creflo Dollar. Hallelujah. Come on now. You know they love Jesus, but... You know, people don't get into ministry to get rich. This wasn't my plan for my life, right? People don't get into ministry to get rich. If you get into ministry to get rich, I have a feeling that the Bible says that you, even serving God, okay, you can be a lover of God or you can be a lover of mammon, which is money and things that money buy. You can't be a lover of both. It's one of the two. Amen? But you don't got to live poor, right? I believe that believers, Christians, God's children should be the ones with the most creative minds, the ones that are most successful, the ones that are most prosperous, the ones that are the best giving, the best understanding, the ones that people look to when everything's falling apart. Because you are a child of the King, you have every wisdom, every knowledge, you have every resource because of the inheritance that you've been given through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Come on, my adopted people. Church, if you're a Christian, that means you have a heavenly Father who has given you an incredible, eternal, forever spiritual inheritance. Our Father who's in heaven, who art in heaven if you go old school. Our Father who's in heaven, he says, we now identify as one of his children because of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no stepchildren. There's no half-children in the kingdom of God. There's just adopted ones with a full inheritance. Somebody got to get a name change in here today. Michael and Shelby Holzapple. I don't know if that was a good thing or not, because that's a weird last name, but that's what we got. Through Christ and in his victory, we've been adopted into sonship. We now have a heavenly Father and a spiritual, full spiritual inheritance. It matters what family you identify with. Church, it matters who your father is. Let me tell you about him. Our heavenly Father is the Father you've always been looking for. There's some people in here today. I believe there's like, I see the number 12. There's 12 people in here today that you don't have a father, or your father was pretty much non-existent or abusive. And when I say the word father, it almost, there's something in your heart, in your spirit that just, hits you. God's going to deliver you from that today. I believe it. He's going to deliver you from that because God is going to redeem it. What your earthly father has done, our heavenly Father will redeem. You don't have to look to the things that he did or did not do in your life and say, that's the only father I'm ever going to get. There's a heavenly Father who is perfect, and he will redeem all those things. He will love you like you should have been loved. Yeah. Somebody's hurting in here today. You don't have a daddy. I hurt for you. But our Father in heaven loves you. He's a better dad. I have a pretty good dad. He's 10 times better than that dad. Sorry, Dad. If you're watching, sorry. It's true. You know it's true. But he loves you. He loves you so much. He's a good father. I want to tell you a little bit about him. Something about a bubble. I don't know. Our heavenly Father is the Father that you've always been looking for. In him, we have our being. We are his offspring. We're made in his image. He knows everything about us, even when we don't know much about him yet. He knows when we get up and when we sit down. He is familiar with all of your ways. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head, even if they're diminishing. He knew you before you were conceived, and he knit you together in your mother's womb. He chose you before creation. Church, you're not a mistake. He determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live because you are fearfully and wonderfully made by him. The plan that he has for you is full of hope because he loves you with an everlasting love. We are his treasured possession. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. Delight in him, and he'll give you all the desires of your heart. He also is the Father that comforts us in times of need. He mends our broken hearts. He heals us and he sets us free. One day he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will take away every pain that you've ever suffered on earth. He's our defender and he fights for us. He can do more for us than we could even dream or imagine. He is our greatest strength. He is our Father, and he loves us just like he loves his Son, Jesus. For through his Son, Jesus, his perfect love was revealed. Jesus came to demonstrate our Father is for us. He is not against us. He is no longer counting our sins against us because of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus died so you could identify with your Abba Daddy. Our Father gave up everything that He loves so that He might gain more sons and daughters in return. So what happens when you're adopted and become a child of God? Let me tell you. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here's what happens when you're adopted and become a child of God. You become blessed, chosen, holy, and without blame before God. You are now accepted and redeemed and forgiven and obtain a spiritual inheritance. You are now sealed with the Holy Spirit, made alive, raised to life, and made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are His workmanship and created in Christ for good works, reconciled back to God, making peace with Him through His Son, Jesus. You are now a holy temple, carrying God's presence everywhere that you go, as the Spirit of God now lives in you. 1 John 3:1 says this. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us children, and that's what we are. Church, we are whose we are. It matters who your Father is. Today you can choose to identify as being a child of God. Today you can gain a father. Will you choose spiritual adoption or spiritual rejection? Let me read two more verses for you before we allow the Spirit of God to move and do what He wants to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18 says this. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. I love this. Verse 18. And I will be your Father, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty Lord God. Worship team, can you come? I believe there's some people in here today. You need a name change. You need to be adopted. There's some people in here today also. You've run from the Father. You have run from the house of God. You have run from the Father like the prodigal did. But He's calling you home. Come home. Come home to your dad. Some of y'all need to just, you need to be wrapped in His arms today. I believe there's some females in here today. You need to be wrapped in your Father's arms. Need him to look you in the eyes and say, you're beloved, you're precious, and you're beautiful. Everything the enemy has said and everything those other people have said, it's a lie. You're a masterpiece. You're the apple of my eye, and I love you. I love you. And I believe there's some men in here today. And God wants you to crawl up in His lap, just like you were a little boy. Get up in His lap, and he wants to look you in the eyes and say, guess what? I'm proud of you, son. You can do it. When you're weak, I'll be strong. I'm beside you, I'm in front of you, and I'm behind you. I'll do exactly what you need me to do. But I need you to crawl up my lap more often. You need to know my strength. You need to know my mind. You need to know what it is to do the right things. You know, people who hang out with their family long enough, or somebody they hang out with long enough, you start to become like them, don't you? Right? You see that little old couple that have been married for like 50, 60 years. And they start looking 70 years, 80, I don't know, 112 years, whatever it is. you know I love you, I'm just playing. But they start looking like each other. They do. They like start morphing into one. Yeah, if they weren't so old, they could beat you in a three-legged race like that. Like they know how to walk together. Some of y'all caught that. Okay. But people who are around people for long enough, not only do you start looking like them, you start acting like them, you start talking like them. It's time to start doing that with our Father in heaven. You need a family to hang out with? You're welcome here. We got dysfunction. You're welcome here. Nobody perfect. You're a little bit crazy. We like a little bit crazy. Makes things fun. But if you're really crazy, mcollum@firstopenbible.com is the email. Here's his cell phone number. I ain't doing that to him. He just got back from vacation. I'll tell you his cell phone number next week. Hallelujah. Some of y'all got to have a new family. You got to walk with the Father of God, and you can start becoming like him. See, that's what Jesus is. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Well, what do you think the world needs right now? They need the church. So when they see the church, they see the Father. Some of y'all need daddies. Will you stand with me, church? Prayer teams, will you come back up, please? Hallelujah. You know it's going to get good because we have a keyboard now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's people in the house today that you've never had the Heavenly Father. You're not born into the kingdom of God. You've heard about it. You've maybe even thought you were, but when push comes to shove, Jesus is not your Savior. He's not the Lord of your life, and you have not been serving him. You're not knowing God and making him known. But he wants you today to know his Son so you can know the Father. But you have to accept him. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. But you have to say something. You know, God created all things with words. He spoke it. We don't put enough emphasis on what we speak. You need to start speaking things to start seeing life. And that's what's cool. The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth, you speak, and you believe in your heart, you're reborn. You're made brand new. You're a new creation in Christ. You are born again. You have a new family. And he's your Father. And he won't let you down like your earthly father did. But you got to come. You got to confess. And then you will receive. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you today, and you've never had a Heavenly Father before, but you want to, please come up and stand in these lines. But these people want to pray for you today. Stand in these lines. Just come up. Come on. Come up. If you want a Heavenly Father, you don't have one. Come on. Don't be afraid. Okay? Come on. Come on up. If you want a Heavenly Father. The other call is this. Come on. Come on up. I see some people walking up. Come on up. Every head bowed and eyes closed as well. You just come up to the line where the people are. They want to pray for you. Right there. Just stand in front of them. Here you go, sweetie. Give me your hand, baby. Come here. Stand right here. Leo, come here. Give me your hand. Come here. Right there, buddy. Okay. I want to talk to you. Now there's other people in here today. You've been running from the family of God. You've been running into the world, like the Bible teaches that story. But the Father is here this morning. He has a ring, he has a robe, and he's about ready to throw a party, but you got to come back. You got to come back. And I love that in that story that the Father, he wasn't just working. He was looking and waiting. He was looking at the hill saying, my son or my daughter, they're coming back. And when they do, and when I see them, I'm going to run to them. I'm going to run to them. I'm going to put a ring on their finger. I'm going to put a robe around them. And we're going to throw a party. There's somebody in here today. Somebody's. There's quite a few. You need to come up today because you need the Heavenly Father's touch in your life again. But you got to come. Come back to the Father. If that's you, come now. Come now. Come and just line up in front of one of these people that are praying. Come. Come now. If you need a Father, I see you. Come on. God wants to pray for you. Come on. Rededicate your life. Give it back to God. Come on. Some of you all are afraid. Some of you have some deep hurts in your life. Deep father wounds. And Abba Father wants you to get healed today. You got deep father wounds today. Maybe you never had a daddy. Maybe you never had a father. Or that father was so about himself that he didn't even love you or didn't treat you like he needed to. Or maybe you had a father and he wasn't all the things that you need. Or maybe there's things that your father said to you as a child or even said to you this week. And you need Abba Father to redeem it. Come now. Come. Come. Come just line up. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. At the altar is where you get altered. Come to the altar. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come on. I know God's going to do something. God put this on my heart this week. I know there's a lot of people. Some of y'all are afraid right now. I know there's more. I know there's more. You didn't have a father. Come on up. This isn't just about eternity. This is about now. God wants to redeem you now. Come on. Come on up. We're going to worship here in just a moment. And I believe God is going to do a supernatural thing in your life. He's going to touch you in a supernatural way. All those wounds are going to be healed. All those words are going to be reversed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, Father, our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins and the ones we've sinned against. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Your kingdom forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you. It says in your word, we can come to you boldly to the throne because of what Christ has done. We come. There's people here. I know there's more. They might be afraid. They might be too broke. I don't know. The enemy, break the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. If you're questioning if it's you or not, it's you. You questioned it, that means it's you. God wants to do something. I know he can heal you where you're at, but God's calling you forward to this morning. He wants to alter you at the altar. Spirit of living God, may you move mightily upon each and every person. I thank you for the ones that gave their heart back to Christ, the ones that gave their heart to Christ for the very first time. And I thank you for spiritual adoption. You're adopting new sons and daughters to the kingdom of God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to stay here for a moment. I want to listen to what God's saying. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you, come on. Some of you have mother wounds, and your father wasn't there to protect you or speak to it. You have mother wounds. You have family wounds. And because you had a father that just stood along and watched and didn't get involved, he wasn't in his rightful place. Father God wants to heal you of those things that were spoken, those curses. If that's you, just come. Come to the altar. God wants to just break that curse right now. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. Curses be broken. Words be broken in the name. God, it says in your word that our tongue has the power of life or death, to tear down or to build up. So I pray that right now, build up their hearts, souls, minds, and body right now. Speak to them with an everlasting love. I pray as we go today, God, that we would be reminded that we are children of the living God. If Jesus Christ is our Savior, we're a child of God. And if we're a child of God, we have a spiritual inheritance and we have a job to do. We can look like Christ, act like Christ, talk like Christ, and we have the availability and the access to the inheritance now because Jesus Christ has died for that. And he rose again and has given us access to that spiritual inheritance. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Move like you want to move. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, Brent, lead us.